Are we due? Are we due?
White one says, as of right now, the 20 white lights that are coming from Mercedes Canal.
Now, my probably favorite part of this video, of course, that camera doesn't want to work, is right up over here in the beginning. Right here. You can count them out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Taliban fighters just hanging out. And even after the Apache crew engages them, you know what they end up doing? They end up sending some 30 Mike over on top of them afterwards. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. And a happy Veterans Day to you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to give this one more roll and go slap my camera to make sure that this episode goes off without a hitch. Go ahead and enjoy some Taliban fighters getting schwacked while I take care of that.
TV Storm.
Something 3.
Are we due? Are we
due? White one says, as of right now, the 20 white lights that are coming from Mercedes Canal.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and kick this little shindig off. Well, how were we welcomed into Veterans Day yesterday on the Marine Corps' birthday of all frickin' times? We ended up having Al-Shara, better known as Al-Jilani, an Al-Qaeda terrorist that ended up getting welcomed into the White House with open arms. I couldn't think of a bigger slap in the face for U.S. veterans today.
President, the White House has said that President Trump would like Syria to join the Abraham Accords. The foundational principle of the Accords is that Israel has the right to exist as a sovereign Jewish state. Is that something that you agree with?
I believe that the situation in Syria is different from this situation of the countries who went on with the Abrahamic agreement. Syria has borders with Israel, and Israel occupies the Golan Heights since 1967. We are not going to enter into a negotiation directly right now. Maybe the United States administration with the President Trump will help us reach this kind of negotiation.
Now, I know a lot of people are absolutely livid about this man, just as I am. And I had to wonder why, oh, why in the freaking world would we possibly have this man entering into the White House on the Marine Corps' birthday? That makes literally no sense. And on the eve of Veterans Day, having a man that's a former Al-Qaeda terrorist jump in to the Oval Office. And as somebody that voted for Trump, I sit back and I look and my head's about to spin. I was like, there's not a snowball's chance in hell. This man is actually going to get platformed here in the United States of America. The entire reason for him becoming a U.S., I don't even want to call him like a partner at this point, but the entire reason for all of that happening, believe it or not, was because he is supposedly going to be our latest ally in the fight against ISIS-K. ISIS. That's right. You heard that correct. ISIS and Jilani are going to be going head to head. Jilani claims that he's thwarted multiple ISIS assassination attempts over inside of Syria. So he doesn't like ISIS. So we should just adopt the guy and let him come in. So, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the United States' latest ally, Mr. Al-Jilani, with a freshly removed $10 million U.S. dollar bounty from his head back in December by Joe Biden, his organization removed from the terror watch list just this year by Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and now he's into the United States. And this is a very serious problem for me, and I think everybody else that has a lick of common sense today on Veterans Day. We're about to get to UC Berkeley here in a minute, but I wanted to make dang sure I go ahead and I address this up front. What this administration just did is gave a pathway to legitimacy by using terrorism. I'll say that again. Through terrorism, we just gave a pathway to diplomacy, to legitimacy, and that not only can you kill United States troops, but we'll welcome you into the White House for it one day, as long as you're able to throw over another violent frickin' regime over inside of another country. There is absolutely no way you can sit down and defend this ridiculous crap. I've been pissed off before, like very, very pissed off, but the president can't go out defining Mamdani over inside of New York City as, and I quote, 100% communist lunatic, while taking on terrorists bringing them into the White House and doing that. Now, you can say, keep your enemies close. I see that in the comment section, and I've been told this so many freaking times. Like, keep your enemies close. Maybe that's what we're doing. We're trying to keep them close. Well, I would highly disagree with that statement. You can keep your enemy close. Like, let's say that we wanted to change our foreign policy over inside of the Middle East. Let's say we actually wanted to do that. Does that mean that we have to play basketball with the guy, with the CENTCOM commander? Do we have to send the CENTCOM commander to go play basketball with him? Do we have to invite the man into the freaking White House the day before Veterans Day on the Marine Corps' birthday? And make no mistake about it, the man was responsible for killing freaking Marines, and he's responsible for killing U.S. service members just in general. And to have him go into the White House and shake hands with the President of the United States, the answer is no, absolutely not. You absolutely do not have to do that. As a matter of fact, you could do everything that Trump has currently done without bringing him in and said, there is a difference between saying, you know what, we're going to give this guy a try. We're going to play it out. We're going to see what happens. We might even release a little bit of money to the guy and play it out and see what happens. He's promised to play ball. We'll see what happens. Of course, he doesn't want to sign on to the Abraham Accords. He's friends with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia has backed off from it. MBS has backed off from it. Nobody wants to play with that. But it's a big freaking issue. There is a difference between inviting him into the White House and saying, we're going to give this man an honest attempt. And if he screws up, we'll drop a bomb on his head. There's a big difference between those two things. When you start inviting them into the White House, when you start shaking hands with them, when you allow them onto U.S. soil, in general, this is his second time on U.S. soil this year. When you allow him on U.S. soil, you set a completely and totally different precedent, and you're sending a different message to the world. How many of you guys were pissed that Vladimir Putin landed inside of Alaska on a federal installation to meet with Donald Trump, which we haven't even talked about in a very long time? That just completely and totally failed. So many of you guys were pissed that Putin even came over here to the United States of America. And yet we have people sitting here saying, keep your enemies close. Well, you don't invite him into the White House. Putin would have been a better option to invite into the White House of the United States of America than this man. That's just a fact. I would have rather seen Vladimir Putin inside of the White House than this guy, because at least Vladimir Putin is a legitimate leader of a freaking country. This guy is nothing more than a freaking shill and a terrorist. And you wonder why. You wonder why we have issues like this. I bring you, ladies and gentlemen, Dearborn, Michigan.
Today you hear the chant from the river to the sea, from LA to NYC, from UCLA to Columbia University, from Memory TV to PBD. Know that we are the sons of Ali. Whether it's Ali Abi Talib or Ali Khamenei, talking poorly against our leaders is nothing short of blasphemy. I'm glad to see the people in the West waking up to the demonic regime. From the encampments to the flotillas overseas, the whole world is saying, free, free Palestine. We fight with words, art, and however means necessary. You call out this community where our children come to learn and read, where we teach the truth, not bigotry, where everyone is equal according to piety. This is what ethno-European supremacy can't stand to see. Hence why they keep saying Dearborn, the jihadi capital, on your TV screen. We proudly, unapologetically speak about Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, the Shaheed.
The martyr. Nasrallah, the martyr. We proudly praise Nasrallah, the martyr. Why would we ever say that Dearborn, Michigan is a terror capital inside of the United States of America when the president's inviting them to the White House, number one? But then he's praising Nasrallah. Nasrallah, even on face value, didn't even get along with Jolani, the guy that I just had up on the screen. And for those of you that don't know, he is the former leader of Hezbollah, who's now dead. He had a massive warhead dropped on his forehead and ended up getting buried over inside of Beirut last year. See, multiple people can rhyme. This is garbage. And the reason we're seeing stuff like this take place inside of the United States of America is exactly why we have the liberals that are freaking partying over at UC Berkeley, causing freaking riots, celebrating the death of Charlie Kirk. All of this stuff is happening in the United States of America. We have people that are literally walking around going, over at UC Berkeley celebrating his death. We have a massive city inside the United States of America. It used to be a little quiet, quaint town, home to Ford Motor Company, things like that. But now we got this guy sitting inside of there praising enemies of the United States of America. Oh, by the way, he also talked about Khomeini. You guys should probably look up who he is if you don't know. It's absolute freaking trash. And now, in my opinion, the United States has basically lost its foothold to complain about things like this and to complain about guys like Mamdani when we're inviting in guys like Al-Shara into the freaking White House. By the way, you should go look up the meaning of Al-Shara. I was just kind of curious if there was any different meaning to the name Al-Shara, so I went over and I just wanted to triple check it. Literal meaning, the law, the road, or the divine path. For those of you guys that don't know, his former name, right, Jolani, the guy that was friends with al-Baghdadi, the guy that was in al-Qaeda, the guy that led HTS, the guy that led a massive terror organization that murdered Christians, murdered Muslims, murdered everybody, genocided all sorts of people. We don't even get the irony of that statement with Trump talking about genocide taking place in Nigeria. And then we bring this guy into the White House. Then he puts on a suit and tie, literally putting lipstick on a pig, and then end up calling him a freaking president of a nation, changes his name to Al-Shara. The law, the road, or the divine path. It also has a religious meaning. It can refer to Sharia law, for those of you that don't know. Islamic law and the moral code derived from the Quran and Hadith. So you have a guy that supposedly is not a radical that ended up changing his name to the divine path. And that should be kind of scary for you, especially because he decided that he was going to, I don't know, get rid of ISIS. And it's said that the reason that he didn't join ISIS to begin with was because he wanted to keep it Syrian centric. And then we end up finding out that al-Jolani actually has ties to Muhammad's bloodline. His father claims that he's a direct descendant of the Prophet Muhammad, meaning that so is Jolani, meaning that Jolani can declare himself caliph one day, and then we're going to have a different Islamic state on our hand. Only this time we just release billions of dollars to them so that they can do whatever the hell they want, and they're being backed by a freaking NATO country like Turkey. That's a real statement. Speaking of Turkey, they ended up having their C-130 get shot down out of the sky over Azerbaijan-Georgian border today. The initial video that ended up coming out of this didn't show the fuselage split in half. It was taken from far away. Then this video ended up emerging. You guys, check this out. This is a C-130 transport aircraft operated by Turkey that was flying from Azerbaijan, which, for those of you that don't know, has been pretty famous for shooting down civilian aircraft lately. Operated by Russia. Yeah, you see that right. It looks like the freaking fuselage is split in half. Now, I talked with Colonel Jeff Fisher this morning. Well, he actually commented on the post I ended up making about this. And Jeff Fisher tried to tell me that it is possible. It is very possible that, although highly unlikely, it is possible that the pilot of this aircraft ended up pulling up way too hard on the stick and it could have separated the fuselage and caused the whole thing to split in half. So it's possible that that happened. In my opinion, it's more likely that Russia just shot a NATO aircraft out of the sky because they have, I don't know, a pretty bad track record for engaging aircraft as of late. So now we have another issue on our hands. And I've got a feeling that even if this was shot down by Russia, we're not going to hear about it. Nobody's going to come out and claim that this is Russia shooting down a NATO aircraft because the United States is too busy making friends with terrorists and doesn't have the balls to do what it's got to do with Russia. And I'm not saying that from a neocon perspective. I'm just saying that as somebody that actually recognizes the threat that's taking place, where we've dedicated 20% of our Navy down to frickin' Venezuela, probably to stop the Belt Road Initiative from frickin' China, along with likely terror plots and things like that that are pouring out of India, operating through Venezuela, and probably coming in here to the United States of America. So yeah, we've got too much stuff on our hands to deal with Russia shooting down C-130s, and you're probably not going to hear about it anytime soon. Just wanted to throw that out there. Meanwhile, we've got our own problems to deal with here in the United States. This is what UC Berkeley looked like last night.
We already know.
Why do we have these problems at UC Berkeley? Well, TPUSA was out there giving another little event over at UC Berkeley, and well, they said, and this came from TPUSA, that Antifa ended up showing up to the house. Antifa shows up to the party at UC Berkeley. Antifa shows up to the party at UC Berkeley. Not just Antifa, but also agitators from across the United States of America. And I've got actual proof of that, where we are seeing guys that were getting arrested not that long ago that are currently over at the TPUSA event at UC Berkeley, causing a massive riot, to where we had riot police that were standing off of them. Police made a lot of arrests. Check this one out.
What happened, white boy?
Guy tried to rob me.
You guys step back, please. You guys come film, but just.
Hey, you got cracked up.
Give me the other hand. You just move it away from
here. What's that? Hey, white boy, do you want to tell us what happened?
This is probably one of the more calm events that actually took place over at UC Berkeley last night. You know, I was busy debating Nate from Valhalla VFT. I thought it was a pretty dang good debate. You guys are more than welcome to go over there and check it out. There was like a couple calmer scenes that were over there, but even the calmer scenes ended up having people that were celebrating the death of Charlie Kirk, which in my opinion is pretty messed up. In case it was hard for you to make out what these people were just chanting, they were chanting, F your dead homie. And to put that into context, it's a TPUSA event. Obviously, they're talking about Charlie Kirk. You had all of these freaking nut jobs show up yesterday shouting, F your dead homie, standing outside of TPUSA. The hell is wrong with people? Incog Faraday! In the house, give now 5 Speak the Truth memberships. Greatly appreciate you, sir. Thank you very much for your kind generosity over here on the Speak the Truth channel. Now, it went from that to a little bit more hectic scenes as soon as the sun ended up going down. Why? Because all the freaking crazy people end up coming out when the sun goes down. It's something that's common. It's always just going to happen. Another keffiyeh-clad young man coming in and screaming, F you, fascists. No wonder why this crap is taking place in the United States. We have a terrorist that's invited in the White House and people openly speaking in Dearborn, Michigan, praising the enemies of the United States of America, who is responsible for killing hundreds of Americans.
Asshole!
Mm-hmm. That's the USA, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Veterans Day. This is what we fought so hard for, so people could stand up and scream, F you, you fascist Nazi scum, celebrate the death of Charlie Kirk, and stand up and celebrate the enemies of the United States of America, all while the president ends up bringing in a terrorist into the White House, and we have a communist slash devout socialist as mayor of New York City. Man, what a freaking lovely day, isn't it? And you guys wonder why I decided to switch my focus from what was happening overseas over here to the United States of America, because I am so sick and freaking tired of this crap. It feels like while we were off fighting wars, the United States of America was literally hijacked from underneath us. The people that were left back here had absolutely no balls to do what needed to be done. Now, I am very happy for the Trump administration going out and freaking arresting people, getting rid of all of the illegals and everything else that's taking place inside of this country. And yes, I did fight for the freedom of speech, and I'm going to touch on that here in a little bit because I do believe in freedom of speech. But no constitutional right is absolute. And I want to make that perfectly, perfectly clear. People often talk about shouting fire in the middle of a crowded movie theater. If somebody ends up getting trampled to death, it's your fault when there is no fire. When you end up bringing in, the Second Amendment, you have to get a background check. If you want to have a concealed, if you want to walk around with a concealed firearm, you might have to get a permit depending on what state you're living in. Some states restrict the different types of firearms that you can have. I mean, there's like all sorts of different restrictions that go into place. You want to have a suppressor, which isn't even an actual firearm. It's an accessory. You still got to pay excessive money to the United States government. There's all sorts of crap that you have to do in order to make these things happen. Hell, your Fourth Amendment right isn't even absolute, right? Like there can be warrantless searches and seizures that take place. And so inside of the United States of America, there is exceptions to every single constitutional right. And so while I might have fought for freedom of speech, what I didn't fight for you to celebrate enemies of the United States of America and shout violent rhetoric and incite violence. As a matter of fact, in most states, there's laws that are on the book against inciting violence. Those people that were out there doing what they're doing very likely violated God only knows how many different municipal laws when we looked over at what was taking place inside Portland, Oregon. Yep, absolutely, they're violating the law. That wasn't peaceful protesting. It sure as hell wasn't a war zone, though, but it's not a peaceful protest. So let's make that perfectly clear. Yeah, I fought for freedom of speech and the United States of America to protect it from foreign enemies and domestic ones. And I wouldn't be doing myself any freaking good or you any good if I stood here and I told you that having violent rhetoric here on American soil isn't necessarily a good thing. Now, I understand that you might need to have some violent rhetoric protected later on, which is why I'm not pushing this issue all too hard. But when that violent rhetoric turns into actions and nothing ends up getting done about it, well, I have an issue here. When we end up having people that are using their religion as an excuse to preach that it's okay to go out and kill Americans, well, I start to have an issue. That's not okay. You can't hide behind your religion. If my speech isn't protected, neither is your dang religion. Let's be perfectly clear about that. If your religion teaches hate, if your religion teaches to kill people, if your imams stand up at a freaking altar and scream that it's okay for you to go out and kill infidels while waving a pistol and standing in the United States of America, that's not okay. I'm not okay with that either. So we're not going to put up with that crap, and I'm going to stand here and I'm going to freaking talk and I'm going to fight against it. Now, what I'm about to show you guys is body cam footage of somebody that ended up getting arrested over at this TP USA event. This guy's name, I want to say, I don't want to get it wrong. Hold on, let me bring this up. His name is allegedly Nate Griffin. Nate Griffin. He's a night manager, a Laugh Factory night manager. He ended up getting arrested over at this event. Check this out.
You assault anybody! You assault anybody! Shutting the door is a fucking crime!
Get out of the head, it is. Get out of the sun now!
Tell yourself, you piece of shit! No, I'm riding alone back here!
Let me see your face, fucker!
I don't even have to hope. I just know you're gonna fucking rot in hell. And y'all can't even say shit.
because you know what pieces of fucking shit you are. Each of you knows that you're going to die a sad fucking lonely death. You hear me, you fat fucks?
So here he is. Now, if you'll notice the date on the body cam footage, the Axon body cam, it's October 24th of 25. This wasn't at Berkeley. This wasn't over in Southern California. This was in a completely different state. And yet this gentleman, for some reason, ended up being arrested yesterday, allegedly, over inside of California. How is that even freaking possible that that man was over inside of California getting arrested doing that stuff? Now, that's what I heard. And it might not necessarily be true, but that's what's being said. So if that's the case, I don't know. I haven't seen any video evidence of it, but certainly what that leads me to believe is that you have organized protesters, and organized protesters are absolutely a thing. TPUSA is claiming that Antifa is out there. And so if Antifa is out there, claimed by TPUSA, and you have people that are moving from place to place, we saw guys from Portland, the chicken suit guy, make his way all the way out to Washington, D.C. last year. I don't think that guy has worked a job and God only knows how freaking long. Is there a massive organized attempt at all of these different protests? And most people would say yes, absolutely. Then I came across this video. Now, this isn't at the TPUSA event. This is where I wanted to make sure I got this location correct. This is over inside of Daytona. This video came out yesterday.
I'm working. You guys are talking about workers over billionaires.
We are working as well.
You're working as well?
We are working. Yes.
I'm working today. Are you working today?
I'm doing it.
Okay. There's another one.
I want that guy to get out of my face. Look at what he's
going
to
do.
And I also want to point out this gentleman's hat that says P-Town. Now, maybe I'm confused. I'm from Oregon. P-Town would be Portland. That's the nickname that we had for it. Portland would be P-Town for the locals that actually know what it is. Jay Bartholomew says, happy Veterans Day. Much respect for you and all of our military now and past. Thank you for your service. Appreciate that. All right. This is Daytona. And you got a guy wearing a P-Town hat and people claiming that they're working. Let's see what other events she brings to the table.
What are you going to do?
Shame on you. Shame on you.
So who bought this?
That's none of your business.
They have walkie-talkies. They have body cams. A couple of them have megaphones, badges that are professionally made. They have speakers, boom boxes, the tents, the professional tables, the professional banners. Seems like funding from maybe a billionaire, George Soros. Look at that smirk. She smiled when she heard his name because you like him, don't you?
Look, check this out. Not only does she have the body cam on her and the orange vest, this is also something I ended up noticing over inside of Portland as well, that you have all of these people that are organized with their orange vests and radios and things like that. And you saw like the earpiece on the other guy. I think she's going to point out the radios here in just a minute. But I also saw people that were putting together something like 10,000 rape whistle kits to hand out to all these different illegals. So that's happening. Who's funding all of this crap? I saw that, I believe it was a Mexican consulate now, is warning illegals in the United States of America where ICE agents are at. That ended up coming out. I haven't done enough research on that to tell you that, yes, 100%, that's a fact. So do we have international freaking players such as Mexico that don't want their people deported, that are causing freaking unrest over here because they're supplying 85% of the drugs that end up flowing into the United States of America, and they'd rather their focus be on this than all of the drugs that are coming out? Good question. I don't know.
You. He gives you the big bucks, right? The only time I've gotten her to walk away from me is when I try to pinpoint where the money's coming from. Oh, get this, Justin. About $10,000 for order. Aren't you proud of what's on there? Where'd you get the money for this? Who's funding you? Who's funding you? Take a look at all your equipment, and we're going to add up the cost of what it took to get these people this stuff. Here's the cost of everything that we found.
There it is. Estimated total $3,890 just on the different people that they saw walking around different things. Now, they do have accessories. They've got banners. They've got posters, lanyards, taxes. $4,000. Yep, that is a lot of money, but it's not unreal for a tiny little organized group to be able to come up with. But what's unreal is that they were able to get all these walkie-talkies and all of that other crap. She's always around, get it. She was hoovering over Target. Dude, like, she has been around and she has been doing a pretty dang good job, like going out to these different locations and exposing a lot of this stuff. But when I see different like organized events, such as what took place over at UC Berkeley, when I see people from Portland Antifa that haven't worked a job a day in their life, as far as I'm concerned, that managed to get airplane tickets, fly all the way out to Washington, D.C., lead different protests, that are taking pictures with their city council members. When we have things like that that are taking place in this country, you absolutely have to look and you have to ask yourself, are these different events being organized by somebody else? And I believe that the answer to that is 1,000% yes. Now, they also decided to push and get even more violent yesterday, to the point where riot police ended up coming out over at UC Berkeley. They were standing there, literally putting a barricade in between these freaking protesters and everybody else. Okay. Okay. So again, free speech versus whatever the hell this is, screaming Nazis out of Berkeley to the point where you have a bunch of barricades and crap that are end up throwing down. And I guarantee you that there is a law that these people are violating, likely restricting freedom of movement by like crowding those freaking paths, unlawful assembly. There's all sorts of different crap that we could probably throw out that these people are violating. And then you have cops that are just arresting one or two people. A-holes found at Berkeley sounds about right. Are they yelling at a mirror? Yeah, they are. A lot of these people don't even look and try to figure out what fascism is. You know, like bringing that up. When I had that interview out over inside of Portland and I asked that young lady what their overall goal was, and she told me that it was going to be shutting down the ICE facility. Like she wants the ICE facility totally shut down. I'm like, well, you know, they process visa paperwork here and nobody can get interviews done because you guys are out here wrecking this entire freaking place so nobody can come in or out. So how are people supposed to get their visas? How do you expect people to become U.S. citizens when you're demanding this facility gets shut down? They're like, oh my God, is that true? How is that even humanly possible? Like people do not do enough research to sit there and go and figure out what it is. And in my opinion, they're all just being, how do I want to say? They're all just being influenced by little short social media clips. You know, that's the bulk of where they're getting it. And when I was talking with Nate last night, we had talked about information space and how freedom of speech is very much important. And I'm about to bring up and I'm going to talk about a lawsuit that just got filed by Cash Patel's girlfriend here in just a minute. And so freedom of speech, in my opinion, is very, very important. And it's one of those things that I don't think we should be giving away, right? Like we shouldn't just be restricting people's rights. We shouldn't be allowing frivolous lawsuits. We shouldn't be doing all of this other crap simply because it doesn't feel good or we don't like what they're saying. And that's exactly what those different people are doing, because that goes very, very quickly down this rabbit hole right here. Ask yourself what this guy did wrong.
You love Trump?
What?
You love Trump?
Yeah, why? Stay away from me. Stay away from me.
Piece of shit.
Fucking weirdo.
Rape! Get the fuck! Get away from me! I'm gonna beat you with this battery! Get away! Hey. Stop attacking me! Fucking weirdo! Stop attacking me! Fucking weirdo! Ow! Why are you doing that? Fucking creep.
Yep. That's what it leads into, right? And this is where I start having issues when we start talking about violent rhetoric and how things going off. Now, calling the president of the United States a Nazi is your right. And I'll support your right to call the president of the United States a Nazi, even though you're dead ass wrong every single time. What I'm going to stop supporting is you celebrating foreign terrorists, what I'm going to stop supporting is you standing up and how do I want to say this, using your religion to say that it's okay to kill infidels while waving a pistol around here in the United States of America. That type of stuff is not okay. In my opinion, that's likely not protected free speech. And I am perfectly acceptable with having free speech. But when we are at the point in this country where transgenders feel empowered that because this man is walking by and says he supports Trump, that you just get to go off and haul off and freaking attack somebody, that's a problem. Now, we can break this video down from a legal standpoint and we can say, meh, was this guy justified in pulling out his pepper spray?
You love Trump?
What?
You love Trump?
Yeah, why? Stay away from me.
Okay. Do you love Trump? Yeah. Why? And then they turn around and they start like moving over towards him. Now, do I think this person has a very aggressive posture? No. At this point, should this person have disengaged and walk away? Absolutely. Abso-frickin-lutely. That right there, for whatever reason, that man felt fear. Now, would a reasonable person feel fear in his situation? Because we've seen Trump supporters getting attacked left and right over inside of this country. Abso-frickin-lutely, I think that guy has a reasonable fear when faced by a man dressed as a woman, is pissed off because he is freaking supporting Trump. Lando 8913 says, Happy Veterans Day, Matt, and all of our vets. Thank you very much, sir. I greatly appreciate that. Yeah, I'd say he has a reasonable fear. And at this point, when this individual doesn't heed his warning to stay away from me and he starts moving towards him, then the guy decides to spray him. He didn't spray him right away. He just pulled it out.
Stay away from me.
And then they start waving and so on and so forth. And then the guy ends up chasing him down and going to attack him. In my opinion, yeah, I'd say that's pretty justified. I'd say it's like borderline depending on what's going down, but you got to look at it from his perspective, whatever. Yeah, it's justified. And I've got an issue with all of that crap taking place over here in the United States of America. Free speech, very much, in my opinion, is under attack. And I'm just simply not okay with what is happening. Now, I also wanted to point something else out to you guys as I go and I grab this. Here, give me just a second. Free speech, kind of an issue, right? Like I'm not okay with free speech being taken and any of the crap going down, how it's going down. But like I said, Cash Patel's girlfriend, is suing this man, Elijah Schaefer, and suing his company Rift, right? Or the Rift, I forget, whatever the hell it is, because he allegedly posted a picture of her. And the biggest issue that I have with this lawsuit, from what I've been able to gather from it, haven't really read the entire thing yet, but what it sounds like is he just retweeted a freaking picture of her. Retweeted a picture of her and Cash. And make no mistake about it, she is a public figure. She does talk for Prager University. She does speak for, as a country music artist and all sorts of freaking crap is what she claims to be. But they filed, I want to say it was a $5 million lawsuit. $5 million lawsuit against him. Now, I don't agree with 99.999% of the crap that ends up coming out of this man's mouth. I really don't. But do I think that it is worth a $5 million lawsuit for retweeting a freaking picture of the director of the FBI girlfriend? Absolutely not. This, to me, is a very, very grotesque violation of all sorts of different civil rights. Couldn't she sue him for defamation? In what way? And what damage has he caused? Nowhere inside of that lawsuit does it state that Elijah Schaefer claimed that she was a honeypot. It doesn't state that at all. It does talk about his previous anti-Semitic remarks that he's made, things of that nature, or anti-Israel remarks. Maybe it doesn't say anti-Semitic, but anti-Israel remarks and all of that other crap. And Elijah, in his video, it's like a 15-minute long video. I had to go over and read it. He does state that... I hate the guy's name. I forget that the last moron that Max Blumenthal, that idiot that I debated, that he claims that Cash Patel's legal team, the federal government's legal team, helped to put the lawsuit together and all sorts of stuff in order to send it in and go after him. Zero evidence presented, of course, as per usual with that man. But let's just say on face value of what this is, the man's got a certain stance when it goes to another country. Not even going off on the United States of America, but another country. Take Israel out of it, take your own personal beliefs out of it, take all that crap out of it. And he ends up getting sued for $5 million because he retweets a picture of the FBI director and his girlfriend. That's literally what he's being sued over, for $5 million. Meanwhile, we have people inside of this country that are screaming death to America, that are advocating for killing infidels, that are pushing all sorts of violent rhetoric. We have a freaking terrorist being welcomed inside the White House. And this is what the director of the FBI's girlfriend decides to waste her time on for the tune of $5 million. If you guys don't know, the guys over at Antihero Podcast are also being sued for defamation by Rob O'Neill. Happy Veterans Day, ladies and gentlemen. Guys at Antihero being sued by Rob O'Neill. He ended up putting something out stating, you know, that it is defamation because they're going against his character and blah, 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 blah. Sean Ryan had Matt Bissonnette on his show yesterday talking about how the actual, event that ended up taking, or the mission that ended up taking out Osama bin Laden actually went down. He says the guy on the stairwell ended up firing a shot that hit the forehead of Osama bin Laden as he was making his way up the stairwell. If I remember right, I remember hearing Rob O'Neill state that that guy that fired that shot, he admits that that shot occurred, but he said that that shot didn't take place, or that he ended up missing this. That shot took place, but he missed that shot. And then when he got up there, he ended up firing three rounds into his freaking head. $25 million. $25 million for that lawsuit. Nailed it. That's absurd to me, because Rob O'Neill says that that shot ended up missing the guy. Matt says that the shot ended up hitting bin Laden in the freaking forehead and ended up making his way up over and into the room. And then Matt, along with other members of the team, likely pumped a bunch of rounds into the guy's chest. He even said that they took water from somebody's camelback, dripped it on his face, and then wiped his face off. And then everybody ended up taking pictures of his face. Yep, makes sense. There would be blood all over his freaking face. He got shot in the freaking forehead. Rob O'Neill, however, says that he pumped three rounds into UBL's face. Dude, and I think originally it was like a couple shots to the chest, one to the face, whatever, man. It's so freaking ridiculous that all this crap is going down. They are sue happy. And I'm personally upset because I'm also involved in a freaking massive lawsuit. I'm being sued for millions of dollars, for those of you guys that don't know. That hasn't gone away. It's being set to go to trial. Why? Why? It is a massive attack on the media, First Amendment rights, and all of this crap is going down inside of the United States of America. And for some ungodly reason, we're allowing that to happen. Now, before we move into our Veterans Day portion, which I absolutely love, I have to give you guys an update from Nigeria. Boko Haram and ISIS decided to get into a naval battle over inside Nigeria. You guys get the idea, right? They're literally driving around on their little dinghies, like having freaking, like this reminds me of like old school Roman duels on freaking boats over in the water, slinging AK rounds at each other. They said that 200 people have been killed in their pontoon dinghy Navy battle over inside of Nigeria. This is why Trump needs to send in the United States of America, because they're busy killing themselves up over inside there. The Battle of the Lost Canoe. Dang, dang right. So now, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm sick of all the crap going on over in the United States of America, I want to present to you why Veterans Day is so freaking important to me, in my opinion. This is why Veterans Day is so important. This is also why a lot of people hate Al Jazeera, lots of other channels, because they were very famous for broadcasting this stuff during the global war on terror. What you're about to see, and I'm going to warn anybody that has severe PTSD that might want to watch some of these stuff. I'm bringing you guys videos from Afghanistan. What you're about to see is a Humvee getting blown to hell. This is by an IED going over and striking a Humvee. Check this out. I want you guys to watch, as this thing's in slow-mo, I want you guys to watch the freaking gunner inside of this Humvee. He's strapped in. So at one point during the war, they ended up giving like little harnesses. I think it was like 2008, somewhere around there. Ended up giving harnesses because of this. You guys see all the crap that goes flying out of that truck, right? Like you see the guns fly off that truck because of the force of this freaking blast. And you watch that gunner, he gets slung around. The gunner definitely ends up surviving. The TC of the truck or the truck commander, basically the guy sitting in the front passenger seat. I have no idea if he ended up surviving this blast. Looks like he could have got hurt and severely. Hopefully he did. But check this out. Watch him. That gunner ends up surviving and every single thing ends up getting blasted out of that freaking truck, getting thrown everywhere. And that wasn't even like a very large ID. That was just like a smaller one that ended up going over there. Now I'm going to take you guys over into Nangarhar province. And this is, you know, this is what kind of pisses me off is we fought so hard against ISIS. We fought so hard against the Taliban and everybody else. And we just got up and walked away. This is a gun battle that ended up going down over inside of the Nangarhar province over in Pekka Valley. These are U.S. Special Operations troops moving up over towards the Pakistan border.
We stand 500 over there.
Hey, where's that holster?
Now, I want to pause it real quick because this gunfight is taking place from over in the distance. And like I said, you're creeping towards a Pakistan border over here. When my team was over there, what we ended up getting told is that we dropped 90% of the ordnance in Afghanistan in a 3-month time span. So 90% of the ordnance that got dropped in Afghanistan in 2017. And I'm not saying this to brag or bring anything up, but it was part of the debate that I was talking about with Nate last night, where I said that there is a place that I had been in that people would on face value, if they were to walk in after the fact, they'd look at it and be like, oh my God, these guys just carpet bombed this entire area. Nope, every single one of them was precision strikes directed against legitimate targets. It wasn't carpet bombing, but the entire place looked like it had just gone to hell. And in this video, you can just see bombs that are being freaking dropped all over the place. You ended up having an estimated 3,000 enemy strength that was with inside this little area when I ended up showing up. And they had fresh reserves being punched in from Pakistan on a daily basis, coming over the freaking ridge lines like ducks in a row. And I'm not saying this to brag or talk about anything. I'm just trying to bring gravity to the situation of what this video is that you are actually watching. And also to try to bring some gravity to the situation of what was taking place and just kind of like give you guys a little bit bigger, better of an idea of what I was talking about from last night. Carl G, baby.
Direct. Give me this, bro.
All right, we're running. Backbuster, clear! Backbuster, clear! Cock it! Cock it!
You need to move higher! Six.
Going 600.
All right!
Good!
Backbuster, clear!
Cock it!
One hell of a freaking video. Really enjoyed that one. Now that one was a little bit further out. Let's see, you know, that's what happens when you end up having fights a great distance. Now the average engagement over inside of Afghanistan was well over 600 meters most of the time, 600 to 700 meters, right about that distance. But there was times when the bastards ended up popping up right in front of you.
Ready?
Get down! Okay. Go! I got one more down! Get down! I need a medic inside! I got one guy down! Good time! Get down! Inside is clear!
Now. That type of stuff wasn't happening all the time, but it definitely happened from time to time. It's kind of a nightmare over there, if I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. Going through some of these videos and looking back, I most definitely had... I don't want to say like some different issues, but seeing like certain things that were taking place inside those videos, my head was just like, holy freaking hell, right? The amount of dust that was inside of there, the amount of like all sorts of stuff, like even seeing like the different weapon systems, even seeing like the little metal pieces on the truck, all of that other crap. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are a veteran, I want to tell you happy Veterans Day and thank you for your service to this great nation. Thank you for everything that you do. If you are like me and you are pissed off and you are tired of seeing what's happening in this country as a veteran, I would encourage you to actually stand up and start speaking out against all of this crap that we brought up. There is absolutely no reason for us to have Islamic extremism over inside of this country. And that last video that I ended up showing, I want to point out that in that last video, we actually did have some of those Afghan partners that were like standing side by side, getting ready to go into that building. The SF guy that was shooting the Carl G, a patch on his shoulder, at NMRG, that's the National Mine Reduction Group. That's the Afghan, all right, version of EOD that was operating beside US SOF that was over there, right? And so all of these people, right? And then this is what pisses me off. You know, there's a high probability that these people that you see in this video that are going in there, that guy is fighting alongside of to go clear this building, is also a Muslim. And that these Muslims in these videos that are fighting along U.S. Special Operations troops or any troops over inside of Afghanistan, over inside of Iraq, wherever the hell we were at the time, that these guys also understood the dangers of radical Islam to the point where they had to fight it inside of their country. And what I am seeing over here in the United States of America is a rise of radical Islam, the very thing that we were fighting against. Now, we went to Afghanistan to kill Osama bin Laden to make sure that Al-Qaeda no longer had a safe haven. Osama bin Laden got killed. Al-Qaeda no longer had a safe haven over there. And our political aspirations for that country got in the frickin' way. Our political aspirations in the United States of America ended up getting in the way. We had no problem taking the fight to the enemy and putting them on their freaking ass. And so it kind of ticks me off a little bit when I hear people end up saying that you guys got your butts handed to you. No, we didn't. Did America win every single battle over there? No. Do we win every single battle? No. Did we overwhelmingly decimate the enemies of the United States of America? Yes, we freaking did. And every single one of you should be very proud for your service. One of my favorite things that ended up coming out of the interview yesterday with Sean Ryan and Matt Bissonnette was he actually gave praise to a refueler that was on a helicopter. He said when they ended up leaving the bin Laden raid and they were flying their way back over into Afghanistan, they had to stop and refuel. And there was some random army guy that signed up to be a refueler. Matt says he's sitting on Bin Laden's body inside of the freaking helicopter while they sit there and refueling it. You had a refueler that sat there and ended up like refueling the helicopter. If it wasn't for that guy, they didn't go back. And I'll sit here and I'll tell you, while videos like this are freaking great, while all that stuff is amazing, I will tell you that the support people from the United States military absolutely made it possible. I couldn't tell you how freaking happy I was to be able to call back and actually talk to people or send out emails and to be able to get things. You know, one of the little sung stories from the global war on terror is actually all of those different support personnel, because it's not sexy and nobody wants to hear about it. But I'll tell you, every single time I had a bottle of water to drink or a freaking steak that fell out of the sky or a freaking, in one case, a pillow. All right. I actually ordered pillows to get freaking airdropped at one point in time. Things like that mean the freaking world. To be able to go back and have actual Americans giving some of the best support, not to mention intel, not to mention our freaking air support, not to mention every single veteran that ended up pouring things together. And I'll tell you, when those ramp ceremonies were taking place over on those big fobs for our brothers and sisters that ended up getting killed in that fight over there, do you know who was standing there at the freaking tarmac watching those bodies and saluting them as they ended up getting flown off? It wasn't U.S. politicians. It wasn't anybody. You know who it was? It was freaking veterans. It was those, what we call soft skill MOSs that they're out there doing that while holding down the freaking fort on the backside, making sure that we had everything that we needed in order to get things done. And I didn't used to think that way until I think I've told this story before on the podcast. We were getting ready to go down to a raid on a village a little bit further down, and we ended up having a route clearance package go down and right in front of like where we were staying, like literally within eyesight, watched this crap go down. A route clearance package for us that was on its way out and driving out. You end up seeing these guys like hit an IED, clearing the roads that we were going to be taking the next day. And you ended up having people end up getting killed as a direct result of that. So support personnel, U.S. service members out there doing their freaking job. Combat engineers, truck drivers. Don't give truck drivers crap. Truck drivers had the most, and I don't give a shit who you are, one of the most dangerous jobs inside of Iraq, especially in the early days at the spawn of IEDs, was being a freaking truck driver. An 88 Mike inside of the United States Army, or a truck driver inside of the Marine Corps, if that was your job and you're driving trucks across Afghanistan, across Iraq, and you're taking care of that stuff, you were getting targeted left and right. Your ass was getting blown to freaking smithereens all the time, and yet we'll sit here and we'll give crap to those different guys and gals, right? I got over that a long time ago, and I'm tired of this operator praise and the freaking fight and all of that other crap. I'm sick to death of it. I did. I airdropped the most expensive pillows in history brought to you by Amazon, right? So, but I'll tell you what, when I ordered those pillows, when I actually ended up putting that on our list of things to get, people were like, really, man, pillows? I was like, yeah, absolutely, pillows. And I think it was like two kicker boxes full of freaking pillows, or maybe it was a kicker box. It was just like packed with freaking pillows. Obviously, I put a bunch of other supplies on there, but we had the space and we wanted freaking pillows. We were living like shit. We hadn't showered for months, ended up getting cut off from freaking everything. And yeah, I thought it would be a nice surprise to be able to hand out pillows. And the guys that were in the know on what I had actually like ordered kind of like looked at me in like a joking manner. We're like, really, dude, you're going to order freaking pillows? Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to freaking order pillows for everybody. You have no idea. And you guys laugh about it. But morale is one of those things that nobody likes to talk about. And that ended up increasing morale. Like, not a joke. People were very happy to get the pillows. And those things were absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. But people are like fighting over those damn pillows. I promise you that. Ladies and gentlemen, be proud of your service and be proud of everything that you've done in this world. I will tell you that some of the most scary shit I ever did was when I was in the infantry playing sniper bait. I will tell you that at the same time, we had MPs, I had female service members, I had all sorts of service members that actually came in and bailed my butt out at one point in time. I'll never forget a Kiowa pilot over inside of Iraq, female service member flying overhead and hearing her voice check on station. And that just felt like it was just amazing. And then I heard her voice in the chow hall, heard it over the radio all the time, went back to the FOB, was standing in the chow hall, ended up seeing her. Ladies and gentlemen, be proud of every single thing that you did. Be proud. I don't give a crap whether or not you went overseas or you didn't. You were there and you were ready and you were willing to go over and make it happen. I'm tired of watching our veteran community rip itself apart. I don't agree with Rob O'Neill's freaking lawsuit, but I will tell you the one thing that I do agree with his statement that he ended up putting out on it was, I'm tired of seeing veterans rip each other down. Now, some of it is well freaking deserved. Guys like Anthony Aguilar, in my opinion, has everything coming, but I'm not trashing on his service to this great nation. I'm never going to trash on his service and the different things that he did for our country, unless it was dishonorable, right? But I will sit there and I will call him a liar. That is completely and totally different. Please don't misconstrue this topic. Don't misconstrue the subject. But vets need to stop ripping each other apart. We need to start getting behind each other, and we need to start speaking intelligently Because what's taking place here in the United States of America, we know the true horrors of what's actually going to start going down. We know that America is just a freaking, you know, millisecond away from falling into this situation. People are begging for a civil war in the United States of America. People are saying we're about to have a civil war. They have no idea what they're asking for. They have no idea. I don't want that crap in the United States. I don't want to see a war in the United States. I don't want to see a civil war in the United States. I sure as crap don't want to see Islamic terror or Sharia law inside of the United States. If a civil war breaks out in this country, there's a 99.9% chance I am staying the hell out of it, and I want to be left the hell alone. And anybody that comes near my family and tries to disrupt the peace that we have built inside of this country, I will take them out without even choosing sides. Leave us the hell out of it. Start acting like adults. Start speaking of the things that actually matter. We have a country that is being ripped apart, and while we were away for 20 years at freaking war, all of this crap ended up happening inside of our country. To now, it's unrecognizable, and most of us are just upset and sick to our stomachs, and you don't even have a lot of veterans that are willing to speak out on what's taking place in the United States because they're so dang sick of it. I get emails, I get DMs, I get all sorts of stuff from you guys that end up like sending me in messages that think like, yeah, great. I want you guys, instead of sending me a message, I want you guys to go over to X. I want you to go over to Instagram. I want you to go over to TikTok, YouTube, whatever the hell your platform is. And I want you to talk about your different experiences and why you think what we went over today is actually so important. As a veteran, your voice matters. Do not let them silence you. Do not let them tell you that it doesn't. This is the country that you fought for. This is a country that you were willing to risk your life for at one point in time. Do not give up on it now. This is our home. It's actually, and here's the other thing, Nemesis, 22 veterans a day. You know, 22 is actually on the low end. I went through the numbers of how many veterans actually do commit suicide in a year. I took the numbers from the VA. I took the numbers from like all of these reported veteran suicides. And it's almost double 22 a day. Almost double 22 a day. The reason the 22 a day actually ended up going up to like that extent is because of like the push-up challenge and all that other crap. That's an old statistic, man. That number is well over 35, pushing 40 to 45, depending on what stat you want to take. It's freaking insane. We do have our service members that are killing themselves. And if you have one of those issues, I highly suggest you end up reaching out, talk to your brothers and sisters, talk to your friends. And I would encourage any veteran to actually speak to your family members. And this is one of the things when I used to speak on PTSD, this is one of the things I used to tell people, you know, like when we look at marrying somebody, when we look at marrying our spouse, when we look at finding a partner in life, we ask them questions and we want to know every single thing about them. We want to know about their history. We want to know about their past. We might even talk about people that we freaking dated or anything of that nature. We want to know everything. We want to know their goals. We want to know their aspirations. We want to know all this crap. And yet, because we've gone over to places like this, we feel that we can't talk to our family members about the different things that they've done. And I'm not going to lie to you. It's actually came up and bit me in the butt from time to time. I told things to my ex-wife that she took and she threw in my face and she tried to use against me. Broke my freaking heart. But I will tell you this. You can't let that fear overtake you. There's a reason when you're dating somebody that you end up asking them all of those different questions, because it tells you who they are as a person. It tells you what makes them up, like as a human being, the different things that they've been through. And if you don't understand those different situations that person's been through, and you don't, then you don't really know that person. The reason why we have so many veterans that are offing themselves in the United States, in my opinion, is because they feel like strangers in their own home. They feel like nobody in the United States ended up understanding them. And it's very, very troubling. If you feel like a stranger in your own home, it's because people don't know you. Let them know you. It's okay. They love you. And the people that won't, because of the things that you tell them, you shouldn't have them in your life anyways. Don't be afraid of cutting people loose, because they're going to be replaced, I promise you, by much better humans. You might be lonely for a little bit. You might lose a friend. You might lose a family member. I don't care. The truth is the truth, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be scared of. You deserve to be surrounded by people that love you for you. So never give up on that. Never give up on this country and continue to push forward. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm going to jump off my high horse. I got some things I got to take care of this morning. I want to wish you guys a happy Veterans Day. I'm going to see you guys tonight, 5 p.m. No. What time would that be? Nope. Hold on. I always get this wrong. Look, I'll see you guys tonight. It's going to be 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Boom. Why do I always screw that up? 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, ladies and gentlemen. Peace, love, happiness. God bless. Enjoy Taliban getting blown to hell. I'm out of here.
TV Storm.
Mustang 3.
Are we doing what we do?
White 1 says...
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.